Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
On with Mario Lopez.
What's up, y'all? Mario Lopez joining me now on Zoom from the Telemundo show, Enemigo Intimo, actor Tony Plana. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Mario.
I know we've known each other a long time. And you've managed to stay very busy throughout the years. And something we have in common, you, me, and my daughter have all done voices on Elena Vavalor.
Oh, I love that show. I played a dragon on that show.
Oh, you were a dragon? See, I was a jackwin, which is half jaguar, half eagle, right? Or hawk or something like
that. I remember, yes. Yeah. I played a singing and dancing dragon.
Oh, that's even okay. Cool. That's even cooler. Next level right there.
And you know, I teamed up with Cheech Marin, Cloris Leachman, and Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, wow. Dragons. That is cool.
It was cool.
Yeah, I want to be part of that squad right there. All right, maybe the next one then. Where are you originally from, Tony?
Originally from Cuba. Born.
Born in Cuba.
Born and raised in Cuba till I was about 8 and a half.
So you're about 8 and a half. So in no accent, obviously. No, so all Cubano. I don't know why all this time I thought, okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you must know this, that if you come into a new language before you're in double figures, in other words, before puberty.
Sure.
You can pretty much learn the new language without an accent.
Huh. That's a fun fact. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And still retain your original language. Like I speak Spanish pretty much without an accent and pretty fluently.
Right. And where did the passion for acting come from? How did that come about?
Mario, I have no idea. I'm the only actor in the history of my entire family going back centuries. So.
You and I both.
I mean, ain't nobody, there's no other actors. I don't come from a family of actors. I'm an anomaly.
Something you just kind of fell into, or?
I'm an outlier. Yes, I kind of discovered it, or discovered me. History teacher in high school. I heard me read out loud. He happened to be the monitor of the speech team. And he said, you should join the speech team. And he started training me. And all of a sudden I started going to tournaments, you know, weekends and winning.
So this,
getting to the finals.
Yeah. So I haven't heard of a speech team. So the speech team is just who gives the most compelling speech, or what's the judging criteria?
No. So I worked on three different skills. One was debate.
So okay.
We would learn, research, and learn how to debate a topic, both the pro and the con. For example, like at the time it was Vietnam, pro and con Vietnam.
Sure.
You have to be able to argue, you know, forcibly argue, effectively argue either side of the issue. The other skill was dramatic interpretation. So you would pick a monologue, a 10-minute monologue. And that's a long monologue.
Yeah, it is.
From like a play or a movie. And then you would learn it, memorize it, and perform it. And then you would start with, you go to these weekend tournaments where you would compete with other people doing the same thing. And also comedy. You would learn a comedy piece.
Wow.
For 10 minutes and then perform it. And you would go from like everybody competing to the quarterfinals, semifinals, finals. And I kept getting to the finals, bro. And I'd be going, I mean, by the end of my sophomore year when I started, I went to the California State Finals at Stanford University.
Look at that. Now, what
and I go, I mean, I'm like 14, 15 years old going, I didn't know I could do this. I didn't know I was good at this.
Right, right. Look at that. I love that whole concept of a speech team. That's so much discipline, such a hard work. Maybe that's why it's no longer around. Kids don't want to do that.
Well, no. You know what is interesting? But I mean, there are places that still practice it, but it should be practiced more.
I agree.
Because that teacher, once he saw that I was successful in these competitions, encouraged that I try for the school plays. And I started getting cast in school plays. I did Nathan Detroit, you know, the Frank Sinatra role in Guys and Dolls. I did wonderful character called Mr. DePinna and You Can't Take It With You, The Fantastics. I mean, I did different shows that kind of, you know, made me see that I was pretty good at it.
That is awesome. Wow, look at that teacher. All that talk about having an impact on the life there.
Oh, that teacher, Jesuit priest. I went to a Jesuit high school. And I called him recently. You know, after a 45-year career.
Wow.
Father Fabian, you know, I don't know if you know this, but you're the reason why I've been doing what I've been doing.
Oh, that's awesome.
We need more teachers like that.
I had never told him.
Yeah, what a fantastic teacher. We need a lot more fathers like that.
Oh, hell yeah.
What was your first paying gig as an actor?
You're going to love this. My first paying gig was a former summer stock.
Sure.
Up in Santa Maria, California, called the Pacific Conservatory of the Performing Arts, PCPA. Mm-hmm. And I work with a lot of ACT actors from San Francisco and actors from all over the country. And we did like eight different, four dramas and four musicals. I was in, Midsummer Night's Dream and Oklahoma and Peer Gynt. But really, you're going to love this. My first TV gig.
Okay.
Was on What's Happening.
Yes. What's Happening with Rerun. Yes. I love What's Happening. What did you play?
Rerun. I played a Middle Eastern kid, an Arab kid.
I love it.
Name Ahmed. Ahmed. And so it was, and I'll never forget the way Rerun pronounced my name. Like, hey, Ahmed.
That is so great. Funny.
What's interesting, and the reason I got that gig, Mario, is because I happened to be doing a play in town, Equity Waiver, at the Melrose Theater about Sirhan Sirhan, the killer of Robert Kennedy.
Sure. Wow.
And we got great reviews, and casting people came to see it, and I had to do a good Arab accent. And so the casting person, at the time, there weren't that many Arab actors in Los Angeles. This is 1975, 76. And so casting person said, would you mind coming in and reading with an Arab accent? I did. And I got the part.
Look, I love these stories. These are fantastic stories.
I remember getting my check for $900 for 1 week of work. I said, wow,
you made it.
I like this.
I'm rich.
I mean, I never made more than $900. I never made $900 a week at the time.
Hey, 1975. That's a lot of money right there too.
That's a lot of money.
Heck yeah.
Look, working construction 60-hour weeks, I made $600 a week.
You're like, I'm going to focus on this acting thing.
Yeah, exactly. I like this.
Oh, that is so cool. So let's talk Enemigo Intimo. Season 2 has premiered on Telemundo. It's funny because my sister was so excited. Her parents love it and watch it. So for those who aren't familiar, how would you describe the show?
Well, they call it a super series because I think Telemundo, and that's one of the things I've loved about working with them. This is my second project in Spanish for them. Jugar con Fuego, I did last year. Fascinating. My first Spanish-speaking projects in a 45-year career.
Wow, that is fascinating.
And this is my second one. But Enemigo Intimo, it aims high and big. It's action-oriented, but grounded in a very intimate, complex relationship between two siblings that find themselves on the opposite sides of the drug war.
Mm.
And my character is fascinating because he's an established, older hotelier runs a very good and successful chain of hotels in Spain that, because of the economic downturn, finds the legacy, his heritage of the family going south.
Right.
And because he's so desperate to preserve it and not lose it, he turns to the drug cartel to keep it alive by helping them, you know, launder money.
Right.
So it's an interesting dilemma where, you know, there's a lot of people these days who are going through an economic downturn and looking at their livelihoods that they've worked so hard to build over many, many years, sometimes decades, you know, lifetimes, you know, generations, and looking at the possibility of losing it.
You do what you got to do. What a fascinating premise. That's very relevant right now.
We shot it in September before the pandemic, but I've been thinking about it going, hey, this character resonates now more than ever.
Yeah.
I have so many people thinking about what's the future hold?
Exactly. Where did you shoot the show?
We shot that in Mexico City in Spain.
Oh, wow. Mexico City in Spain. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming just like the rest of the entertainment industry at the moment, everything's essentially put on hold, right? As far as.
Well, we were fortunate that we finished everything in December.
Oh, great. So you got it. Okay.
So
you got it all in.
Was completed by December. I finished my work in September, October. And so we were blessed. I mean, some other projects of Telemundo's had to be, you know, suspended
right.
because of the virus.
Yeah.
And they're still trying to decide whether or not to come back. I believe they're trying to come back in October, but Florida's not doing well right now.
Yeah. So, what remains, it remains to be seen. Okay.
Right. It does. So it's been challenging. I know, you know, I love that we're able to talk like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in upstate New York, and I take it you're in California.
Yeah. I'm in LA. Okay. So you spend your time in New York. Interesting. I thought you were out here most of the time, Tony.
Well, I'm in both places, but Ugly Betty moved me and my family to New York 12 years ago.
Oh, wow. And you stayed. Okay.
When the kids went off to college, my wife Ada and I looked at each other and said, do we really want to go back to that suburban home in LA? Just the two of us without our kids by ourselves. It was a no.
Yeah.
It was unequivocal no. And we love living in New York and also spending time in LA when I work and working in New York. And
sure.
Going to the theater in New York.
Yeah. If you don't have any kids and you're just by, if it's just you and the, I met my wife in New York. It is very romantic. It's a fun city.
I remember, I don't know if you know this, but I sat next to your wife in first class when she was going back to LA from doing that musical with you.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that where you met?
Yeah, that's where we met. Yeah. Wow. And what a small, I think I do remember that. Wow.
Wow, you were flying her out first class?
I must have had miles racked up or something.
I even said that to him. He's treating you well.
Yeah. Thanks for that shout out. Oh, that's funny. Well, something else that we have in common. Are you still going to be doing the Spanish version of the Bible Experience?
Yes, my brother.
You're playing the role of Job, right?
Yes, I am.
I'm also supposed to be working on that. I'm trying to work out the schedule right now. Playing JC. Jesus.
Oh,
so we'll see.
Wonderful.
So our paths will be, I could say
hey,
that we work together.
How are you going to prepare for that?
Well, I went to confession this last week and baptized my son. You know, I'm ready to go.
I think you better start there.
Yeah, I better start and stop there.
Yeah,
exactly.
House cleaning before you take it on.
Tony, one thing I did see you in recently too that comes to mind is in Bombshell. You played Geraldo Rivera.
I know, man. That was a trip.
That is a trip. Now, did you get to meet Geraldo at all or talk to him about it?
I know, but I read his autobiography and it was a 2.5 hour makeup process.
Wow. Wow. First time you've ever had to deal with something like that?
It's pretty funny because, I mean, some people that know me didn't even recognize me.
Yeah, no, it was hard. Later on when I saw your name, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, see? So, I mean, they really transformed me and it was fascinating doing that character and especially being part of that show. That's a special movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Powerful movie and very liberating you know, I think empowering movie.
Sure. Important theme, of course.
For women in particular. And working with, you know, the director was really wonderful, and also the cast, you know, such an amazing cast.
Mm-hmm.
That was really special. Even though it was a small part, I felt part of an important film. You know,
no, it was important with a fantastic cast. One thing real quick before we start to end, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were also in Zoot Suit back in the day, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. See, I'm not. And it's been decades since I've seen that.
But, that was my first. That was my first movie.
That was your first. Okay, I was going to ask you, was that your first movie? Yeah. So yeah, and first, Edward James, like, Olmos. Yes.
But that first it went from there that to An Officer and Gentleman to other movies. But it was my first, like, commercial studio released movie.
Because I remember that's where I think I first saw you.
I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but I thought of it recently because I watched Hamilton on Disney.
Right.
The filming of the play, and they did a beautiful job of capturing the theatrical event. I went to see Hamilton like 3 times, just crazy about it. And Lin-Manuel Miranda's work was just extraordinary, along with the cast. But Zoot Suit, the film of Zoot Suit, reminds me very much of that, in the sense that it was in a very effective adaptation of a play into a movie.
Correct. Yes.
And one of the amazing things they did in Zoot Suit is, instead of cutting like you would in film, they just used the revolve to bring on the next scene. And Eddie Olmos as the Pachuco would just take you on the revolve to the next scene, and you never had to cut. But there was the other actors were waiting on the next set, and then you were in a different scene. They would come in for close-ups.
It was incredibly innovative and ahead of his time right there. Yeah, I just wanted to think, oh, that's so cool. Man, well, I could talk to you forever there, but before we let you go, I want to put you on the spot with quick questions, quick answers, okay?
Sure.
Favorite TV show you've watched during quarantine?
The Sopranos.
Is that a rewatch, or are you watching it for the first
time? It's a rewatch because I never watched it sequentially. I mean, we've been doing, we did The Wire first, now then The Sopranos.
All
now
great
we're going
shows.
Into Breaking Bad after that.
You're seeing like the three best shows in a row. That's awesome. That's quality.
Well, you know, my wife had not seen some of them.
Yeah.
And part of it was me saying, hon, you got to watch this.
Yeah, yeah.
This is classic. This is what changed American television.
Yeah, you're right.
It was what changed the miniseries. So we're really enjoying it. The Wire has to be one of the greatest procedurals of all time.
Yes.
And you know.
All three of those shows you mentioned.
Yes. I mean, amazing. And so that's what we're watching. Anyway.
Nickname growing up.
Oh, man. I don't even want to tell you.
Unfortunately, you have
to. Well, now we got to know.
Well, you're going to laugh, but. My name is Jose Antonio. So at home, I was called Pepin, like Little Joe. You
know, Pepin, yes.
Yeah, but when my high school friends found out about it, guess what they call me?
Pepino?
Pepinus.
Pepinus. I love it.
Oh, I got killed. I got killed in high school.
Oh, that's my favorite. All right, well, Pepinus. From now on, you're Pepinus Plana, just so you know. Man. Just so you know.
Better not. Better not.
What is something that you learned in 2020?
How to be at home.
We've all learned that, yes.
You know, and really how, because I'm like you, man. I'm like, I think we're alike in that we're type A's. We like doing things.
Yeah.
And exactly. I like doing a lot of projects and working in the community, working in education, working on my career, whatever, doing theater. And I had to learn how to kind of be still.
Yeah.
You know, and time with myself, not be so defined by activity.
Yep.
Spend more time with my wife, work on that relationship, you know, work on staying in touch with my kids, you know, every day, you know, cultivating those relationships. Because when you're so busy, you know, they kind of lose priority and you don't spend as much time on them as you should.
You're right.
And I think as you get older, I think you realize that you need to.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's nice that I agree. I always say that's the probably the most important takeaway that I've had during this time.
Yes, amen.
And all-time favorite set that you've worked on?
Oh, that's hard. You know, I mean, I did
just most the one you laughed at, the one you laughed on the most. How about that?
Well, I mean, theater or film?
Let's go with film and television.
Yeah.
Okay. Film, television. So film, you know, Three Amigos.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, I said, am I really getting paid to do this?
Yeah.
It was like pretty fun. And Jefe was probably, I think, one of the landmark characters of my career.
Yeah, that seemed like a fun set.
You know, awesome. Could it be that you are mad at something else and they're looking to take it out on me? I still use it on my wife.
That's fantastic.
But then in terms of TV, I mean, I would have to be Ugly Betty, you know, because it was also a lot of fun to be on that show. But also, I think, I don't know if you remember this show, but Resurrection Boulevard.
On Showtime. Yes. You know, something came up. I almost worked with you on that show, but then I forgot what else I was doing. Yes.
We wanted you on the show and something happened.
Something did it, but that was a fun show too. Yeah, with boxing and the whole thing. I like that.
It was the first successful Latino drama in television history. Mm-hmm. People forget that.
Yeah.
Were you going to play yourself?
We didn't. And we haven't had a serious, really Latino drama since then. They've all been comedies.
You're exactly right. We're going to have to revisit that then sooner, and hopefully we'll work together again. Tony, I really enjoyed talking to you.
Like you, brother. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, that is Pepinas, and you can watch him.
I'm coming down. I'm going to put a mask on.
Hey, I didn't give you the Pepinas name. I love that name.
He's going to catch a flight.
Yeah, but I shared that with you in confidence.
Okay. On the radio.
You're abusing that confidence.
Well, it was just a nationally syndicated radio show. No one will hear Pepinas.
Sorry, no one listened.
But listen, watch Enemigo Intimo nightly on Telemundo.
I never have let you stay there.
I hope I see you in a crowded restaurant in the near future and you're really far away and I yell Pepinas. It's your boy Mario.
I will not respond.
That was fun, Tony. Thank you, man.
Thank you, brother. Bless you, brother. Okay, hello to the family.
Will do. Take care.
Remind your wife about that airplane flight.
I will. I'm gonna tell her.
On with Mario Lopez.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.